ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 मया कालात्मना धात्रा मया कालात्मना धात्रा कर्म युक्तम इदं जगत् गुण प्रवाह एतस्मिन् उन्मज्जति निमज्जति मया कालात्मना धात्रा कर्म युक्तम इदं जगत् गुण प्रवाह एतस्मिन् उन्मज्जति निमज्जति मया कालात्मना धात्रा कर्म युक्तम इदं जगत् गुण प्रवाह एतस्मिन् उन्मज्जति निमज्जति Maya, by me, Kala Atmana, who contains the energy of time, Dhatra, the creator, Karma Yuktam, full of fruitive activities, Idam, this, Jagat, world, Guna Pravahe, in the mighty current of the modes, Etasmin, in this, Unmajyati, one rises up. Nimajjati. One drowns. Translation. All results of fruitive work have been arranged within this world by me, the Supreme Creator, acting as a force of time. Thus, one sometimes rises up toward the surface of this mighty river of the modes of nature, and sometimes again submerges. Please repeat. As all results of fruitive work have been arranged within this world by me, the Supreme Creator, acting as the force of time, thus one sometimes rises up Lord, the surface of this mighty river of the modes of nature, and sometimes again submerges. Purport. Unmajjati refers to one's promotion to the higher planetary systems, as mentioned in previous verses, and Nimajjati refers to being submerged in a miserable condition of life by impious activities. In both cases, one is drowning within the mighty river of material existence, which carries one far away from one's real home in the kingdom of God. So, this is today's verse, canto number 11, chapter 24, text number 15. What is the verse describing? Maya kalatmana dhatra karma yuktam idam jagat guna pravaha etasmin unmajjati nimajjati. Unmajjati and nimajjati. Un means going up and ni means going down. So who is going up and down? Who? Us. Okay, so all the living entities, the souls, the conditioned souls who are coming to this material world, they are going up and down. Where are they going? Up and down. So that is being described here. The process of creation is being described here by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. In a summary form, it was described previously by Krishna in the form of Lord Kapila Dev to his mother Devahuti. Now he is again describing it to his dearmost friend Uddhava. Because in between there was a problem. After the Kapil Dev Bhagwan, son of Devahuti, there was an imitation Kapila who came. And he took out the soul and the super soul part of the whole creation. And he described that the creation is coming from a bunch of chemicals. So, his chemical theory of the origin of the creation was again nullified by Lord Krishna here. In Srimad Bhagavatam, also in Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna rejects that philosophy or idea of chemicals producing the life, producing creation. Lord Krishna himself comes in the form of first Purusha Maha Vishnu. Then the creation takes place from Maha Vishnu. All the universes in the seed form come out. And then after that, the universes, in each and every universe, again, one form of Lord Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. From Garbhodakshaya Vishnu comes the Lord Brahma, he takes birth. And he creates the secondary creation, the species of life. 8,400,000 different species of life are created. So what are the ingredients for all this creation? That is being discussed here by Lord Krishna. And the main, who is the main creator? That Krishna says he himself is the original creator and he takes the form of Mahavishnu and he is carrying out this function of creation. And who is the agent The most powerful agent that Lord Krishna is describing here in the text number 15. Maya kalatmana datra. The most powerful agent is the kala, agent of Lord Krishna, representative, or sometimes kala or time is described as the energy of the Lord. The most powerful energy or the agent of Lord Krishna is kala, time. So, time, as you know, is the most valuable thing in life. If we spend our time properly, then we can become successful in life. And if we waste our time in unwanted endeavors, then we can have a loss in our life. So, because the living entities or the conditioned souls have so much of baggage with them, they're carrying the baggage in the form of previous karmas. The previous material desires, the unfulfilled desires from the previous creation. So again, they have to come back to fulfill their material desires. So for that, the creation is taking place for the benefit of these conditioned souls. It is not for the benefit of Lord Mahavishnu or any incarnations of Krishna. Nobody. It is for the benefit of these conditioned souls who have yet to fulfill more material desires. They have some hope against hope that I can still enjoy in the material world. Never mind. Last time I failed. Before that also I failed. Number of times I failed. And I ended up in miserable situations. But maybe this time I'll be able to enjoy. So because of this material desire of the conditioned soul, Lord is facilitating the creation. And the time factor is the most powerful agent. So this whole thing is karma yuktam idam jagat. Everybody in the material world is karma yukta. It's coming because of his fruitive mentality and fruitive activities. So who is the greatest karma yukta person in the whole universe? There's one person. He's considered as the greatest karmi. His name is Indra. Indra is celebrated as the biggest karmi of all. And he was successful in performing the sacrifices and achieved the post of Indra, the king of heaven. So he's celebrated as the greatest karmi. So this karmi mentality or fruitive actor, how he should upgrade himself, that is described by Lord Krishna in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That if you have fruitive desires, and to enjoy the material world, material desires, then what you should do? You must perform yajna. By performing yajna, you will be able to fulfill your desires. And also you will be able to upgrade yourself. So therefore, Krishna has created this whole system of varnashram, etc., to upgrade people from whatever position they may be in. So from the karmi position, then Krishna is teaching in third chapter how to perform karma yoga. And then gradually, after perfecting the karma yoga techniques, then how you can perform jnana yoga. And after becoming perfect in jnana yoga, how you can start performing bhakti yoga. And when you become perfect in bhakti yoga, Then you become a pure devotee and you are ready to go back to Godhead. That means you can have your Swarup Siddhi. You can have your original form. Because now, as a conditioned soul, you have a misidentification or a false ID or a temporary ID given by Lord Shiva. He's in charge of the giving of the false IDs to people. False ego. He's in charge of false ego. So everybody who comes in this material world, the conditioned souls, they receive a false identity or false ego, ahankara. And who is in charge of ahankara? Lord Shiva. He gives this out, distributes. And as soon as you get your false identification, then the material energy, Durga, offers you a body, suitable body to fulfill your material desires. So you get the body made of Panch Mahabhut. It could be a human form, it could be animal, it could be demigod, it could be a tree, it could be fish, it could be anything. It all depends on the combination of modes that you have practiced before and your fruitive desires and fruitive actions. Accordingly, Durga Devi will give you the body. So people, they keep on changing their bodies in the hope of enjoying in this material world. Under this false identification or ahankara, and the prime example is the Indradev, the heaven, the king of heaven. Does he have false ID? Yes, it is a false identification. Indra also is a false or a temporary, it's a post. And Indras, they change. One Indra, he is ruling over, and after his rule is over, then he falls down, and then another fellow comes who is qualified to become the next Indra. And then he is ruling over. Like that, this post is filled up every time. So many Indras come and go. So this Indra, under the influence of false ego, you know what happened, what he did with the Vrajavasis. When Lord Krishna, when he stopped the Indra Yajna, the sacrifice to Indra, he became very angry. And he said, "Who is this talkative boy in Vrindavan? And why did they listen to him and why they stopped my sacrifice? So now I'm going to teach them all a lesson they can never forget. I'm going to kill them all, destroy the whole Vrindavan, everybody, submerge it." So he ordered his devastation clouds, Samvartaka clouds. And he came sitting on the Airavata, his elephant, celestial elephant. He personally came with all his army soldiers to destroy Vrindavan. And for 7 days and seven nights he tried and tried and tried. But he could not do any damage because Lord Krishna already had made a perfect plan. He had lifted Govardhan Hill, took all the residents of Vrindavan along with the cows and animals, everybody. Under the umbrella of Govardhan Hill, everybody was protected and had nice time together with Krishna, Krishna and Balaram, everybody. So this Indra is thinking, what's going on here? He said, "Oh, these people are hiding underneath Govardhan." So he came with his Vajra, the very powerful weapon. He had killed so many demons with this Vajra before. He had fought many wars before. So he's striking his Vajra on the Govardhan. But he cannot break even one rock, even not one pebble. Even the peacock that is on top of Govardhan Hill, he could not damage the peacock. the goats, the cows, all the animals, the cats and dogs, everybody is protected by Krishna in Vrindavan, so Indra could not damage or hurt anybody, what to speak of killing anyone. So he said, what is going on? How this is possible? Indra could not understand that I have a false identification. I am under the ahankara. I have become proud of my position. That position has no value. But I have become very proud. He could not realize. And he made the mistake. Finally, he became very depressed. He went back to his home. And he secluded himself. Then Lord Brahma came and consoled him and again brought him back. Told him what to do now. Since you have made a very big mistake, now you have to go and beg forgiveness from Lord Krishna. So he came back and he said, my dear Lord, please forgive me. I did not recognize you and I just made a very big mistake. I thought I am the most powerful, I am the Indra, and I can do anything I want. And in that ahamkara, in that false ego platform, I did all this nonsense. I committed offenses to your Vrajvasis. So please forgive me. So like that he was begging forgiveness and he had brought Airavata and Kamdhenu, the desire-fulfilling cow. He gave abhishek to Lord Krishna at Govinda Kund at Govardhan. So all of these things are described in 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. So Indra, finally, he learned his lesson. Similarly, Lord Brahma also, you know, in Bhagavatam describes, he had also, under the influence of false ego platform, he also committed a very big mistake of not knowing who Krishna is. And he had stolen the very dearmost friends of Krishna and his dearmost calves. And then finally when he realized his mistakes, then he came down also and begged forgiveness. So Krishna was crying and apologizing, begging for mercy, that my dear Lord, I thought I am the greatest jnani. I know everything. I am the topmost in the whole universe. But now I realize I have no intelligence. I totally acted under the influence of false ego. Because Brahma is also a post, it's a position, and a lot of Brahmas come and go. And therefore, I committed this offense at you, at your lotus feet, at your dearmost devotees. So, please, if you can, forgive me for my offenses. Like that he was begging. Those prayers are beautiful prayers, also in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, by Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna. So this is the result of false ego platform, the misidentification of one's own self and acting under the influence of the false ego. The false ego gives you, puts you inside this, submerges you inside the three modes of material nature that's described here. Unmajjati nimajjati. When you come little bit above the mode, you are in the mode of goodness, you may go up to the heaven, heavenly planets, or even higher planets are there. There is Bhur Bhuvaha Swaha, Bhur Loka, that is the earthly planets, Bhuvar Loka, in the middle planet, Swar Loka, that is heavenly planets, Indra, Chandra, Varun, Vayu, Agni. And then higher than that is the Mahar Loka, Jana Loka, Tapa Loka, and then finally the Brahma Loka or Satya Loka. So Brahma Loka is the topmost planet where Lord Brahma is living with great rishis, maharishis, yogis. and the people who are helping him in creation. So these are the seven planetary systems up, and there are seven planetary systems down, below the earth. That is Tal, Atal, Sutal, Vital, Talatal, Rasatal and Patal. So these seven lower planetary systems are also there, where it's already we have studied these verses, who lives there. So Unmajjati and Nimajjati means just people, they go up and down. Ah Brahma Bhuvanan Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. Maam Upetyatu Kauntaya Punarjanmana Vidyate. You can go up as much as you like in this universe. You can even go all the way up to Brahma Loka. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. But there is Punaravartan. You have to again fall back down and again go into the different species of life. Punaravarti Arjuna. Maam Upetya, if you somehow are able, if you are successful to come to my spiritual abode, the Sanatana Dham, Golok Dham Vrindavan, Punarjanma Na Vidyate, then you don't have to repeat this miserable cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, even for Lord Brahma, Indra, everybody, this repetition of suffering in the material world continues. So therefore, this false ego, ahankara, is the root cause of all these problems for the living entity, conditioned soul. But he doesn't understand that how I can come out of this false ego platform. And the very striking example of false ego is many a times given of the Ravana. He had a very big problem with this false ego platform. Ravana, as you know, he had many talents. He was a poet, he was a writer, author. He was a great musician. So many wonderful things he could do. But he had such a big ego problem. And because of that, he was full of material desires and he only was craving for power. So in order to get the power, he had performed tapasya and received boons from Lord Shiva. He had become very powerful. And he had a very big, powerful body. His brother, Kumbhakarna, also had a very big, humongous body. He had received benediction from Lord Brahma also. And in the war, in Ramayana, described that Kumbhakarna, when he came to fight the war, he was picking up the monkeys and eating them, putting them in the mouth like somebody's eating peanuts. He was such a humongous, he had a humongous body, and he would just walk into the field and just pick up the monkeys from the opposite side. And Ravana also was a voracious eater. His favorite food was meat. He ate buffaloes. He loved to eat buffaloes. Ravana is described in Ramayana. So these two people under the influence of false ego, especially Ravana, he said that I don't need Ram. Who is Ram? I don't care. But I want Sita. So this is the problem with the demoniac mentality or people who are extremely victimized by false ego, ahankara. They want to capture the spirit, the energy of the Lord. Of course, he could not get Sita, he got Maya Sita. He could kidnap Maya Sita, not the real Sita. But he kept on thinking that now I have Sita. So ultimately he was destroyed because of this ahankara problem. Not only he was destroyed, but his whole army, his brothers, his cousins, his sons, everybody in Lanka, all the men, they were destroyed in this great war. Ramayana, Lord Ramchandra, he was able to kill Ravana, Kumbhakarna, etc. So we understand this process of creation, and those who are the victims, the great victims of this creation, because of false ego or ahankar problem. How even they may achieve very big post or very big power, still it doesn't do any good to them, because they are in a false concept. They are not understanding the reality. So the reality is that one must acquire the ability to understand himself. Who am I? Why am I suffering in the material world? Why am I undergoing all these up and down suffering cycles? And what is the solution to it? Otherwise one can become fall victim to the three modes of nature, fall victim to the ahankara problem. The husband, one fellow, he came home from his job at his workplace. Maybe his boss had chastised him or something, or he had some kind of argument with his other people, staff people. So when he came home, he became very angry on his wife and children. Now, this is also another example of false ego platform. That there is no fault on the part of the wife and the children. What they have done wrong, nothing. But he had some bad day at work and some argument or something. And now he's taking it on his own family. He's becoming angry, so he's damaging himself. He's damaging his family. So this ahankara has many different facets that can ruin a person's progress in the spiritual life. If one wants to make advancement in spiritual life, then this is the best chapter to study. The chapter number 24 of 11th canto. How the material modes are working. And then how one can come out of these material modes. Mamcha yoga vicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sa gunan samati taitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Chapter 14, Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, only the person who can be successful in life, avyabhicharena bhakti yoga, if he is able to learn from the bona fide spiritual master how to perform avyabhichari bhakti yoga, that pure devotional service platform, then he can come above completely, become free from the three modes of material nature. So gunan samatita brahma bhuyaya. And he can stay on the Brahman platform. That means totally spiritual platform. He can act on the spiritual platform. Nothing material can touch him, because he's performing avyabhichari bhakti yoga. So that is what we are learning from Srila Prabhupada, from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from the Guru Parampara, and from Lord Krishna here in Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita. How to perform avyabhichari bhakti yoga. Because in 7th chapter Lord Krishna says, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschidyatati siddhaye. Out of thousands and thousands of people, only someone, one person will be interested in achieving siddhi, How to become perfect in life? Yatatam api siddhanam kaschit maham veti tattvata. And out of thousands and thousands of people who are trying to become perfect, one may be successful in becoming perfect. And out of many, many perfect people, one may be able to understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the original Supreme Lord, Ishwara Parama Krishna. Only very rarely somebody can actually tattvataha understand Krishna. So it's a very rare thing for the devotees to achieve this platform of understanding Krishna as the Supreme and start loving service at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. That is the recommendation here. Otherwise, there is no solution. Krishna says that people in this material world, they try in so many different ways. Some people, they worship the politicians. Some people, they worship the demigods. Some people, they worship the demons. Some people, they worship the ghosts and hobgoblins. He says in chapter 9, Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti pitrivrata. Those who worship the demigods, they go to the planets of the demigods. If you worship Indra, then you go to the planet of Indra. If you worship moon god, then you go to the planet of moon god. Yanti devrata. Yanti pitrivrata. Pitrivrata means those who worship the forefathers, they go to pitriloka. Bhutani yanti bhutejya, those who worship the ghosts, they go to the ghostly planets. Yanti madhya jinovima, and those who worship me, they come back to me, to my spiritual abode, Golokdham Vrindavan. And they never have to again go into the suffering cycle of the material world. So that is Lord Krishna's recommendation. Everywhere, all throughout, in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, etc. But people sometimes, even devotees, they make mistakes. They don't realize how much important it is to focus the attention. Yesterday or day before yesterday, in the class Bhagavatam, he was saying, Prabhu was saying that this is compared to razor's edge. That means you have to have very focused attention. If you're driving, for example, on the freeway 75 miles an hour and for 10 seconds, if you doze off or your attention is not there on the road, you can end up in the ditch in a very bad condition. Just 10 seconds of inattention. So how much important it is to perform. The human life is very valuable, every minute is very valuable, and it should be spent with attention. Especially the chanting of the holy name should be performed very attentively. And in order to do that, one must have the association of pure devotees. Chant in the association of pure devotees with full attention and care. Serving the pure devotees, serving the Guru Maharaj, and chanting, in order to chant very purely, one has to be focused on the holy name, on the form of Lord Krishna, on Krishna's pastimes, like that. So, these are the important lessons we get here in this chapter. And sometimes devotees, they forget. There is one example I remember. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj had many disciples. One of his disciples was living in Guwahati. That's in the northeastern part of India. And this disciple, he was chanting in those days. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj had ruled chanting 64 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. Everything was doing, but then Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj disappeared in 1936, and then this particular devotee, he had difficulties, he had problems, he slackened and he became inattentive and he stopped chanting. And then gradually, again he started eating meat. The old habits came back. So he was doing all these nonsense activities again and giving up the chanting spiritual practices. So one day he died after giving up the spiritual. So Yamadutas came and took him to the court of Yamaraj. And there was a very big line of people standing there waiting their turn. Like you go to the court and if there is a line then for your turn. So he's waiting in the line, the hundreds of people before him. And he noticed that everybody had so many problems in their lives and so much sinful act. Everybody was sent to hell. So he said, everybody's going to hell? What's going to happen to me? So finally his turn came. So the Chitragupta, he's the one who keeps the record. So he opened this devotee's record and he said, you have done so many bad things, but your case is very special, so I'm going to refer you to Yamaraj. Yamaraj himself will decide what to do with you. So he was sent to Yamaraj from Chitragupta. So when he went to Yamaraj, then Yamaraj said, what have you done? You have so many bad things in your life. Have you done anything good in your life? So he said, yes, I took initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. I was initiated, disciple. So as soon as he mentioned that, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj appeared there personally. And he started chastising this devotee. He said, why have you done this? Why did you give up your chanting, Hare Krishna? Why did you start eating meat? So he severely chastised him. Then he said, now you are going to go down again. We will give you another chance. And Yamaraj said, yes. Yamaraj was very happy to receive Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and gave him nice asan, throne and everything. He had a lot of respect for him. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said that, okay, now you go back to the earth and you go and take again initiation from this particular sannyasi in Gaudiya Math. And then you practice bhakti yoga again. So he was given a second chance. So on the earth planet in Guwahati, his sons and family members, they had the dead body put on the funeral pyre, and they were going to light up the fire, and he immediately at that time he got up from the wood pyre. And as he got up, then people thought, oh, he has become a ghost. So everybody ran away from the crematorium, and everybody was scared. So he got up and he went back to his home and he said, I'm not a ghost, I'm living. And I had this whole, he described the whole incident, and he said, take me to Calcutta. I have to go to this Maharaj and take initiation. My Guru Maharaj told me, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj told me to go there and take re-initiation. So he went, so his family members took him to this particular Maharaj in Calcutta. And he told Maharaj, and Maharaj said, yes, I know everything. Guru Maharaj has told me everything about you, so I'm going to give you initiation. So he was initiated there. Then he lived in that temple for 8 years, and he chanted 64 rounds. He performed devotional service, TD service, Vaishnav Seva, everything he did very nicely, and then he went back to Godhead. So he was given second chance. That happened just a few years ago in the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. But the idea is that one should not wait. Because the time is the most valuable thing, and the time should not be wasted or should not be misused. Just like this devotee example, he forgot the most important instructions of his spiritual master. The spiritual master says, chant Hare Krishna and follow the regulatory principles, perform bhakti yoga, perform nam sankirtan, deity worship, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and specially devotee Vaishnav Seva, service to the spiritual master. So all of these factors, all of these things are very most important items which relieves one from this cycle of samsara, the miserable cycle of birth and death. So I'll stop here. If you have any questions or comments, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, regarding today's verse, anything if you have to address, you want to make any point or you want to ask anything, please go ahead. Hare Krishna. Yes, Canto 11, it's the 24th chapter, text number 15. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.